The edited version from Article 1 of the United States Constitution is this. No state shall pass any ex post facto law. In its simplest form, that means that the government can't change the law on a defendant and charge him criminally, for example, with something that wasn't a crime when he did it. Beyond that, though, it also means that the government can't decide after the fact to up the penalty, even for conduct that was criminal at the time. It can't, for example, pass a law that makes a lesser crime when the defendant committed it into a greater crime when he's tried for it. It can't pass a law that gives a longer sentence to the offender than he otherwise would have faced at trial had the law not been changed. Then there's something called the year and a day rule. In Tennessee and other states, it used to be that if a person wounded someone and the victim lingered for more than a year and a day before dying, the attacker could not be charged with murder. The thought behind the year and a day rule was that if the victim lingered that long, it's possible that the criminal act had nothing at all to do with the death, or at least it left too many causation questions. The rule is as old as the 13th century. Back then, not only was the capacity of medical science to determine cause of death in doubt, a jury could not consider doctors' testimony in its determination of guilt. Jurors were supposed to use what they knew alone before issuing a verdict. The U.S. Supreme Court has decided it will look at how those two legal notions, the ex post facto clause and the year and a day rule, interplay, agreeing 2 weeks ago to hear a case from Tennessee involving a defendant named Wilbert Rogers. In that case, Rogers stabbed someone while the year and a day rule was still in effect in Tennessee. The victim lingered in a coma, seriously wounded for 15 months, and then died, the coroner reported, as a direct result of the stabbing. Authorities charged Rogers with murder, and a jury eventually found him guilty of murder in the second degree. First, Rogers complained that this violated the year and a day rule in Tennessee, never officially declared dead by the judiciary. But in Rogers' own case, the Tennessee Supreme Court abolished the year-and-a-day rule, joining many other jurisdictions in finding it archaic. Rogers then argued that the failure to apply the year-and-a-day rule to his case violated the ex post facto clause of the Constitution. But the Tennessee Supreme Court disagreed, finding that Rogers, in effect, should have known that the year-and-a-day rule was, unofficially, no longer good law in Tennessee. The court reasoned that many other jurisdictions had abolished it by the time Rogers stabbed his victim, and that in Tennessee proper, only one court had mentioned it favorably in over 90 years. Furthermore, the decision notes, a lower court had found, albeit wrongly, that the Tennessee legislature abolished the year-and-a-day rule when it passed the Criminal Sentencing Reform Act, 5 years before the defendant stabbed the victim. Therefore, the court found Rogers had adequate notice that his actions in stabbing someone that particular day could lead to a murder charge, even if the victim lingered for more than a year and a day. To quote the court, it was not an unexpected and unforeseen judicial construction of a principle of criminal law. And now the U.S. Supreme Court will decide the case, hearing argument next term. I'm Amy Guida.